Bother me, so hopefully it doesn't bother you. Alright, every now and then, you know, we do a lot of sermons. Every now and then we just need to get back and cover the basics, because that's what we're supposed to do. And Peter talked to the people he was writing to. He says, I write these things to remind you, because it's no trouble to speak of them again. And Paul also said the same thing in Philippians chapter 3. To write the same things again to you is no problem, because they are your safeguard. And so we do need safeguards from time to time. And so we need to sometimes just get down to the very basics, things that we need to emphasize over and over. And of course, there are reasons we have to emphasize these things, because so many people in this world, especially in the denominational world, they don't think certain things are necessary. And so in James 2:26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. All right, this lesson will be very simple. And this is part one. So there's going to be three parts. And I'll finish them up next week and the week after next, Lord willing. And it's going to be in three parts. And then if you want, let me know, and I'll just give you the whole thing in one little written package, if that's what you would like. But you will be getting each lesson each Sunday after the lesson is over. All right, so by the grace of Christ, we achieve the salvation God desires for us through perseverance in both faith and works. And many Protestants, on the other hand, believe that one just has to accept Jesus as personal Lord and Savior to be saved, and good works are not necessary, or any works are not necessary. And so we're going to have to look at that. And the verses that we're going to read, and there will be quite a few you can write down and go through, but these verses and many others teach us that our performance of good works is necessary for our salvation. Now, we just have to come out front and say, works do not save. Faith does not save. But when you combine faith and works, it brings about our salvation. We have to believe in what we're doing. Just doing good works, I mean, that's not going to bring salvation. And just believing in Jesus is not going to bring salvation. We have to do both. We have to emphasize that and work. Faith and works are necessary for salvation. And so many in the religious world, in the Protestant world, basically they say, well, works are not necessary. You can go to heaven without works. Well, the scripture says otherwise. So let's look at some of these things. What does the Bible teach on this subject? All right, Luke 23 and verse 41. The thief sits on the cross right next to Jesus. He speaks to the other one, and it says, and we indeed justly, for we receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And so he recognized Jesus was innocent in this matter, and so, but he was getting what they deserve. You know, we always say that people need to get what they deserve. And eventually, in the long run, they will get what they deserve. In John 3, verses 19 through 21, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. All right. We jump over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Notice these verses. They all either teach outright or they imply a judgment is coming for everybody. All right. We jump over to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 14 says, talking about a certain person, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. And that's what we can say about anybody who abuses us or misuses us or mistreats us. The Lord will repay. You know, that's what 1 Corinthians 15, Romans chapter 12, do not pay back evil for evil. The Lord will repay, and let the Lord do that. In Titus 3 and verse 8, he says, this is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. And then for verse 14, and let our people also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs, that they may not be unfruitful. So engaging in good deeds, in good works, following the example of Christ. That's definitely what we need to do. And then in Revelation 22 and verse 12, it says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. And of course, there are several other passages in the New Testament which talks about the fact that, yes, we are going to be judged. So all of these imply a judgment is coming. And so we talk about this, and so there's no distinction between the saved and the unsaved. Everybody's going to stand before God in judgment. Those who are saved and those who are righteous will be brought into heaven. Those who are unrighteous and those who are not saved, they will be cast into the eternal torment. So God makes no distinction. Everybody's going to be judged by the same standard. He doesn't have double standards. In our world, we look and we see double standards all the time. We see people with one party, they accuse the other party, but they're doing the same thing. Their person does it, it's okay. The other person does it, it's not okay. And so there's double standards in our world that we live in. But yet, when it comes to God's judgment, there is no double standard. God has already given us the standard by which we're going to be judged. The Bible is one of those standards, and how we measure up to the Bible. See, 1 Corinthians 3:15, he says, if any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. See, as these people explain that works are not necessary for salvation, and there's many of them that do that. See, if works are unnecessary for salvation, as many Protestants believe, then why is a man saved, not just rewarded through fire by a judgment of his works? He is judged by his works. And so that's what we go through. Matthew 7, 1 through 3. It says, do not judge lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? So we are not judged just by faith, but actually how we judge others. And we get what we have given. And so, yeah, there's various standards of our judgment, and part of our judgment will be how we treat others. And so we recognize that. So we are judged according to how we responded to God's grace during our lives. We also are going to be judged by how we treat others or how we mistreat others. And so that's also going to have a bearing on our judgment. We when it comes to God's grace and accepting that, are we obedient to all of God's word, or have we just selected part of God's word to choose to be faithful towards and ignore the rest? I mean, our judgment is going to be based on these things, and we need to get it right. Matthew 10:22 and Matthew 24:13 and Mark 13:13. Jesus taught that we must endure to the very end to be saved. You know, this idea of once saved, always saved, I mean, that's definitely not according to the Bible. But yet, how many religions, how many denominations teach that very thing? Once you're saved, you're always saved. And folks, Jesus said you've got to endure to the end. If once saved, always saved is correct, then Jesus wasted his breath. Jesus should not have said that, because that kind of misleads people if you think about it. And so if this is true, then how can Protestants believe in the erroneous teaching, once saved, always saved? Well, because they have their own agenda. Because they don't want to hear God's word, they want to hear their own words. They want to hear what they want to hear, and they will just ignore the rest. And they want to accumulate teachers of their own desires that will tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. See, if salvation occurred at a specific point in time when we accepted Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, there would be no need to endure to the end. I mean, that's just common sense. It should make sense to everybody. It doesn't make sense to the denominations, but it should make sense to any right-thinking person. And if that's the case, we would already be saved. We wouldn't have to do anything. Anything at all, including have faith. We wouldn't even need that. So Matthew 16:27, Jesus says he will repay every man for what he has done. For whatever works a man hath done, this is how he's going to be rewarded. And so we must recognize that our judgment is going to be based on what we do, not just what we believe. And that's something that we cannot get across to the people in the denominations, because they don't want to see it that way. That's plain and simple. In Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46, we have the story of the great judgment scene where Jesus gathers the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And then he's teaching this, the separation, and it's based on the works that they did during their lives. And the people on one side, they saw the Lord hungry, they saw him naked, they saw him without shelter, and they saw to his needs. And they start thinking, well, when did we ever see that? When did we ever see you? And then he spoke to the other group, says, you saw me hungry, you saw me thirsty, you saw me naked, and you didn't do a thing for me. Well, Lord, we wouldn't have done that to you. And then he goes on to explain that whatever you did to the least of my brothers, you did it to me. And so what we do to each other, since we are part of Christ, we do to Christ. And so that's something we have to realize about our brethren. Our brethren, our association with our brethren is a familial relationship that we have. And what we do to one, we do to the other. And so if you're mean to one, if you're spiteful of one, if you have a grudge against one, you have a grudge against Christ. And you're spiteful towards Christ. And sometimes it's just downright hatred. How can you have hatred in your heart for your brother and yet claim to love God? You know, John asked that question there in 1 John. And so we are judged, and our eternal destiny is determined in accordance with our works. Not just what we believe, but what we do. See, Mark 10:21, Jesus says, and we had this story just last week. Jesus says, sell what you have and give to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven. And so the man, he went away sorrowful because he had great many possessions. So he went away from the Lord. And we talked about that last week. And so if you want to have treasure in heaven, you've got to do what God wants you to do. See, this means that our salvation depends upon our works. And that's what we just can't get across to the denominations. Because they want salvation to be based on faith only. And when you start talking works, it makes them uncomfortable. They don't want to hear it. They talk about salvation by faith only. See, Luke 12, 43 to 48, these verses teach us that we must act according to the Lord's will. What does the Lord want? What does the Lord require of us? You know, we have several passages in the Old Testament. What does the Lord require of you? He requires a contrite heart, a broken and contrite heart. The Lord requires of you to do justice, to love kindness, walk humbly before your God. Yes, God has requirements on people. And these people say, well, all we have to do is believe in God and we're saved. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there's more to it. And so we're going to be judged based upon what we know and then do. Not just upon what we know. Remember James 4:17. He that knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So, yes, it's not what we know. We know there are certain things the Bible says we must do. We know there's things the Bible says are right. And if we decide not to do those things, I mean, that's just as bad as doing something we're not supposed to do. It's no different as far as God is concerned. It's still sin. Sin is sin. And so we must recognize that. In Luke 14:14, Jesus says, we are repaid for the works that we have done at the resurrection of the just. Yes, everyone will be coming to this resurrection to receive what we have in store for us. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will appear before God, and every act will be brought to knowledge, brought to the exposure. And there is nothing hidden from his sight. We read that throughout the scriptures. And we just need to be reminded of this, and we need to be able to teach others that. See, our works lead us to salvation. Now, works by themselves do not save. And we can make that point, and that's a justified point. And you know the denominations, well, works by themselves do not save. And that's a correct statement. But faith by itself does not save either. And that's where they're going to argue with you. All you need is faith. No, we need faith and works. They got to be combined in order to lead to salvation. See, Luke 23:41. See, some Protestants argue that Jesus gave salvation to the good thief, even though the thief did not do any good works. You know, that's what they want to argue. Well, when Jesus was alive, he recognized this person had faith. He believed Jesus was the Christ, and Jesus did not deserve to die. And Jesus, having the power to forgive sins, was able to do so. And when he said, you'll be in paradise with me today. Well, some people want to look at this thief and say, well, he was saved without being baptized. Baptism wasn't even a requirement back then. That would not be for another 50 days down the road before people were told to be baptized for the remission of their sins. And so the thief wasn't even under the New Testament doctrine. So, and that's true. And the good thief did, in fact, do a good work when he proclaimed to the bad thief that he was that was reviling Jesus. And so, in a sense, this was a work, standing up for God. That is a work. And sometimes when we're in a situation, we just choose to remain silent. Well, this man, even though he was about to die, and he deserved to die because of what he had done, and he knew it. And he says, you know what? This Jesus, he didn't do anything to deserve this. This was a good man, and he is most likely the Son of God, as he claimed to be. And so he gained favor with Jesus when he did that, because after saying that, he turned to the Lord and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, I will. So, moreover, we don't know if the good thief asked God for forgiveness. We don't know that. It doesn't say. And did he do works of penance and charity? Well, at that point, no, he was about to die, so he couldn't do those things. But you know what? I've known people who I have baptized, and they never came to church again because they went straight into the hospital and they died. Before ever spending time with the saints, before assembling with the saints to partake of the Lord's Supper or anything like that, they had a sickness and they died. I mean, they didn't have the time to do good works. Well, they're in God's hands. I mean, that's what they do. They wanted to go to heaven. They knew that they had to be baptized for forgiveness of sins. And so it's between them and God. But do we have that same excuse? No. We've been around for a while. We were baptized, some of us, many years ago, some just recently. But still, we don't have that excuse anymore. We have the opportunity, and we should be doing works of penance and charity and to be reconciled to God before we die. See, Romans 2, 6 through 10 and verse 13. See, God will judge every man according to his works. You know, in chapter 1, God was picking on the Gentiles because of their evil ways and doing the things that were not natural. They rejected God as God, and they didn't like that. And the Jews must have been thinking, man, Paul, you're laying it on them. Way to go, Paul. And then he turns around to the Jews and said, you know what? You got the same problem, people. You're not serving God the way you're supposed to be serving him. And you've got to demonstrate that you do believe in God. You've got to demonstrate, and you do this by your works. As we read in our scripture reading, can you show me faith without your works? All you can say, well, I got faith. I mean, that means nothing. But we demonstrate it by what we do, by the works that we do. That's how we demonstrate our faith. So our salvation depends on how we cooperate with God's grace. This is all part of God's grace, but we have to cooperate with it. We got to work in unison with God's grace, because grace is twofold. God does his part and man does his part. And so we understand that. And so, yes, there are certain things that God has done for us, but we still have to do something for ourselves. Now, I heard a description the other day, and it makes a lot of sense. It's like a farmer getting a crop. God supplies the seed, God supplies the soil, God supplies the rain to nourish the seed and the soil. But if man's going to get a crop, he's got to plant the seed, and he's got to till the ground, and he's got to sow the seed in order to get the crop. And that's how God's grace works. God does his part, man does his part. If it was the way the man decided, well, man would say, okay, God, give me my crop, I'm waiting on it, and not have to do anything. Don't plant any seed, don't pull the weeds out of the field, and don't go harvest the crop. Oh, I've got my crop here now. That's how people look at grace. It doesn't work that way. Grace works in cooperation with, coordination with, man's duty to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, at the judgment seat of Christ, we are judged according to what we have done in the body. We're not judged according to how much faith we had. Like I say, anybody can claim to have faith. If we kept reading in James 2, we'd find out you believe that there is a God, the devils also believe. So yes, just because we believe in God doesn't demonstrate we believe God. I mean, the putting faith into action, that's what it's all about. 2 Corinthians 9:6, Paul says that he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And that's in connection with God's judgment. He may have been talking about the money that you give in the collection plate. We've read that quite a few times as we're talking about our contribution. But still, when it comes to doing what God wants us to do, we need to do as much as we can. And that includes, that's talking about works, performing works, doing good deeds, as we read there in Titus chapter 3. Doing good deeds. encouraging our brethren to do good deeds, encouraging all of us to do good deeds, because we're supposed to let our light shine so that others may see our good deeds, our good works, and turn and glorify God who is in heaven. 2 Corinthians 11:15, our end will correspond to our deeds. Our works are necessary to both our justification and our salvation. That's what it's going to take. It's not just because we say, well, I believe in God that brings about our salvation. No, our justification comes not only through the blood of Jesus, but because we access that blood through our obedience, through baptism. We are there. Some people, many of the denominations want to say, well, baptism is a work. Okay, let's grant that. It is a work. It is a work of God. This is what God's part was. God says, if you'll submit to me in obedience by being baptized, you'll be saved. I mean, how hard is that to understand? It's not there. And it'll bring about our salvation. And so, yes, these works which people say, well, you're not saved by work. And let's face it, you grab somebody off the street, bring them in, dunk them in the water, they haven't been baptized. They've been wet, they've been dunked under the water, they may have been immersed, but they're not saved. Why? Because we need the combination of the faith and then the commitment and the determination to follow through with that faith. That's through our repentance and then through confession and then, of course, the baptism and then the life afterwards of faithful living to God. We need all of that in order to be saved. In Galatians 6, 7 through 9, Paul talks about, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he shall reap eternal life. And so he ends that up and says, so let us not grow weary in doing good works. Let us not grow weary in doing good works. For in due season they will reap the rewards of eternal life. If we continue to do good works, it will bring about our salvation. And we continue to do good works, it'll help us get to heaven. It's when we stop doing good works that our life is in jeopardy, our soul is in jeopardy. Because Jesus said, endure until the end, be faithful until death. See, Ephesians 6, 8. Whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same again from the Lord. Yeah, I mean, the Lord does take care of his own. And if he sees you doing good for somebody, it's going to come around. And it's going to happen. You do something good for somebody, all of a sudden you're in a situation, you need help. Guess what? It's going to be there. I mean, go through the Psalms. The psalmist says, I've never seen the children of the Lord go hungry. And so, yeah, we'll receive the same from the Lord. Colossians 3, 24 and 25. We will receive due payment according to what we have done. And it's not what we believe. We can sit here and talk all day about the things that we believe, but if we don't put it into action, what good is that? See, 1 Timothy 6, 18 and 19. He warns the rich. The rich are to be rich in good deeds. Yeah, they have money and they can help others. And in a sense, they have a responsibility. Definitely, they have a responsibility to take care of their own. And he talked about that in 1 Timothy chapter 5. But they're to be rich in good deeds. You have the ability. You can do this. You can be helpful to others. They need to be rich in good deeds so they may take hold of the life which is life indeed. That is eternal life. 2 Timothy 4:14. Once again, as we said, Alexander the coppersmith did Paul great harm, and Paul says the Lord will requite him for his deeds. It's the Lord who's going to pay these people back. Someone mistreats you, don't mistreat them back. Don't pay back. Don't reciprocate with whatever they treat you. Now, I'll change that. If they treat you with kindness, treat them with kindness. I mean, that's okay. But if they treat you in a bad way, don't mistreat them. Jesus said, don't do that. Jesus said, you've heard it said, you can hate your brother. I say, love your enemies. Love these people. Do good to them that spitefully use you. I mean, so the Lord is going to pay people back for their bad deeds. And we understand that. And these people who are evil, who do things that are wrong, yeah, they have their day coming. But it's not our place to mistreat anybody. Hebrews 6:10, God is not so unjust as to overlook your work and the love which you showed for his sake. As long as we are doing the good works, the works which God wants us to do, and the love which we've shown for his sake. Because God asked us to do these things, we did it. God's going to pay attention. When we're nice to somebody and help them out, God's going to pay attention. The Bible tells us that. It's not going to go unnoticed when it comes to God, because God sees everything. But if you do not treat someone with kindness that you have the opportunity to, God's going to see that also. So God rewards our works, not only on earth, but in heaven as well. How does he reward us? How does he reward our works? Well, he does so by his blessings. And we do have blessings. We have spiritual blessings in Christ. And even though we may feel like we suffer from time to time, if we have a relationship with God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and with our brethren, I mean, that is a blessing. It truly is a blessing to have each other and to help each other and to pray for each other. That is a blessing. And we need to recognize that. Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I mean, we got to be very careful here. If we do not present ourselves as holy to the Lord, in other words, doing those things the Lord wants us to do, we won't see the Lord. We won't be there. Now, technically, when we get to judgment, everyone is going to see the Lord. But what their judgment will be based on what they do in this life. Holiness requires works of self-denial and charity, and does not come about simply by a profession of faith. And that's what our scripture reading was. You say you have faith. I mean, you stop there. You say you have faith, but I'll demonstrate my faith by my works. I'll show you my faith by my works. And then we can sit, let an impartial jury sit back. Who really has faith? The one who shows it or the one who says it? I mean, look at Hebrews chapter 11. Why were these people regarded as people of faith? Because they did what the Lord asked them to do. See, 1 Peter 1:17, God judges us impartially according to our deeds. And he does. God has the same standard for everybody. And that's something we kind of fail to realize. He has the same standard for everybody. And that standard, we don't have to guess what it might be because we have it in our possession. We have the Word of God. That is our standard we're going to be judged by. And whether you know the book from cover to cover, and you know all the Bible stories, and you know what it's all about, and you can understand the majority of it, that really doesn't make it any less of a standard for someone who really doesn't know the Bible. Their duty is to learn it, because that's what they're going to be judged by. See, we participate in applying the grace Jesus won for us at Calvary in our lives. We participate in that. Romans 6, verses 3 through 6, talks about the fact that we die with Christ. as he died, he was buried, he arose, so we do. We also were buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. We go through the death, burial, and resurrection when we recognize our baptism. And that's what we do. And that's the core elements of the gospel that needs to be taught. And people just ignore the gospel. And they think they're going to heaven. I mean, sadly, they're not. But they don't want to listen to us. They want to listen to the preachers that tell them they're okay. See, in Revelation 2:5, Jesus tells the Ephesians they have fallen from their first love that they used to have. And he orders them to do good works. Repent and do good works. That's what he said. You need to get back on track. And I'm sure a lot of us, we've gone through that point for many years ago. We were very zealous for the Lord. We served the Lord from to the best of our ability. And somehow over time, that just kind of smoothed out and calmed down. We need to get that zeal back. We need to find ways to get that zeal back. And one way we can get that zeal back is start doing more that we're supposed to be doing. See, God is not satisfied with faith alone. To say the Ephesians didn't have faith, that would be an understatement. I mean, that wouldn't be true. Because they did have faith. They had demonstrated it years before, long time before. They had been doing some great things for the Lord. But they just kind of let it slide. They fell into a rut. They got complacent. They probably leaving a little apathy in there. And the Lord says, you know what? You need to repent and return to your first love. Return to what made you faithful in God's sight. And he's asking us to do the same things. So these people need to do more than accept him as personal Lord and Savior. See, in Revelation 2:10, Jesus tells the church of Smyrna to be faithful until death. He will give them the crown of life. Yeah, this is a lifelong commitment that we make, and we need to be lifelong committed to doing those things God has asked us to do. And so this is the faith of obedience to his commandments. And that's what we need, the obedience of faith, as we read in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 16. In Revelation 2:19, Jesus judges the works of the Thyatirans and despises their tolerance of Jezebel, calling them to repentance. Yeah, people get on the wrong track, and Jesus does not like it. And of course, how do we get them back on the right track? Well, first of all, we have to realize they want to get on the right track. Then we can guide them. But if they choose not to get on the right track, they have to face the consequences. All we can do is warn them. See, Revelation 2:23, Jesus tells us he will give to each of us as our works deserve. He will do that. And we just have to realize we will stand before God and give an account of ourselves. And so he crowns his own gifts by rewarding our good works. That's what he does. When we do good works, he rewards us. If we're not doing good works, why would he do that? If we're not doing good works, why would he reward us? Well, the denominational world has it all figured out. I mean, they just say, well, all you have to do is believe and you've got salvation. No, it doesn't work that way. We need to do good works in order to be rewarded by Christ. Revelation 2:26, Jesus said, he who conquers and keeps my works until the end will be rewarded in heaven. How long? 6 months? 8 months? 10 years? 20 years? 30 years? Until the end, right? That's what it says there. See, Jesus thus instructs us to keep his works to the very end. And that's what we need to do. See, this is not necessary if we're once saved, always saved, as they teach. See, Revelation 3, 2 through 5, and 8 and 15, Jesus is judging our works from heaven. He's paying attention, and these works bear upon our eternal salvation. And a lot of these works he gives us, he's already told us what he expects of us. That's what we have in the rest of the New Testament. We have the instructions from the apostles and from the holy men of God that spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is what God wants from us. And we need to be doing those works. And that those are works not only as we come to worship God, to do the right works as we worship God, but do the right works as we go out and interact with mankind. We've got to be doing these works. They all bear upon our eternal salvation. And if we conquer sin through faith and works, he will not blot out our names out of the book of life. I mean, keep that in mind. Only those going to heaven will have their names written in the book of life, and they will avoid the second death. And that is the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. So this means that our works bear upon our salvation, and our works do not just deal with the level of reward we will receive, but whether we will in fact be saved. And it doesn't matter if you do one work, 10 works, 1,000 works. As long as you're doing works for the Lord, that's what it is. Now, it's up to you to determine what are good works that the Lord wants me to do. And really, anything the Lord tells you to do through command, or as we might have through example, or by the necessary implication, or even by his silence, anything God wants us to do is a good work. And we must recognize that. So as long as you do what God wants you to do, you are doing good works. That doesn't mean you have to get out, okay, you have to go run a food drive for the poor or anything like that. Or you have to go around and pass out blankets to the homeless. That's not what he's talking about. Do those things that God asks you to do. Treat your fellow man properly like he wants you to do. And guess what? They're all good works. And that's what he expects from us. Revelation 3:15, Jesus says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot, because you are lukewarm. I will spew you out of my mouth. Jesus is condemning indifferentism. That's nearly not a word, but I just made it up. But still, he is condemning apathy. He is condemning being indifferent, which is based on our works. As we've already read, what good does it do when you tell someone, be warm, be filled, and go in peace, if you don't do anything for them? Doesn't do anything good at all. God even tells us so much as to say, you're not God's friend when you do that. Revelation 14:13, we are judged by the Lord by our works. He talks about them. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. They shall rest from their labors, and their deeds follow them. When we're known for doing good deeds for others, God will recognize that, and he won't forget that. Our faith during our life is completed and judged by our works. Revelation 20, verse 12. The dead are judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done. Remember the books. The Bible is the standard we'll be judged by. The book of deeds, the book of remembrances, the book of life. They're all going to be there. And we're going to be judged out of those books. What's really important is get our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. As long as we can do that, we can only do that by doing what God tells us to do, by doing those good works. Revelation 22:12, Jesus says, Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he has done. Yeah, Jesus is going to judge us all. See, these verses teach us that we will all be judged by God according to our deeds. We ought to understand that. We ought to know that. We talk about it enough. We need to be reminded of that often. There is no distinction between the saved and the unsaved. Everyone's going to be judged by the same standard. And it's not like the saved do have an advantage because what they've done is done what God asked them to do. The unsaved, well, they haven't done what God asked them to do. So you might say, okay, yeah, that distinction we can make. But the saved have no special privileges other than the fact that if they've done what God asked them to do, they're going to be saved. And we're told that. God said that. You know, we talk about predestination from Ephesians chapter 1. Yeah, God predestined who was going to go to heaven. Those people who have done what God asked them to do are going to go to heaven. It's just that simple. Those people who haven't done what God asked them to do, they're not. And everyone is going to be facing the same judgment upon the same standard. Did they confess Jesus as Lord? Because every tongue will confess and every knee shall bow and confess Jesus as Lord. And so we can do that in this life and serve God, or we can wait until this life is over and not have that opportunity. So the question is, are you obedient to the teaching of God? And so we will continue this lesson next Lord's Day, Lord willing, and the week after that, because faith and works are necessary for salvation. And we need to emphasize the word and. And is a conjunction that joins two thoughts together. Faith leads to salvation. Works lead to salvation. But they have to be combined, faith and works. That's not hard to figure out. But anyway, that's our lesson for today. We'll send you the outline later on today, Lord willing. And consider these thoughts. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone does have a need to respond, we invite you to come. All together, we stand and sing.